we're going to be talking about pressing needs, and I know that we all got them, and so that should be an interesting, easy one to talk about since we all come here with lots of needs. But I think the goal is kind of twofold. One is we can be encouraged to be of encouragement to others in meeting other people's needs, and then also maybe some of the our needs that we're bearing now will be a little less light. So I think it's kind of a two-way street that we can accomplish. And here we go. All right, so we're going to basically look at two different parts of Scripture. First is Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll just do kind of like a quick drive-by in Hebrews. And then we're going to go to Titus, and Titus, we're going to camp at Titus. So get in that camping mode. I know we're a big camping church, and we enjoy camping, so we're going to camp in Titus today. But first, we're going to start in Hebrews. So I'm going to start in verse 15, just to give a little context. Chapter 13 of Hebrews. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The part in verse 15, I read that first because it kind of talked about the context of praising God. You know, verse 16 is good, do good, and I think everyone would probably agree, you know, Christians, we should be doing good. But if we're just kind of, quote, do-gooders on its own, it really doesn't distinguish us from other people who are do-gooders. And not that doing good is bad, but I think there's a lot more to the Christian faith than just the doing good. And so the verse 15 talks about that connection with God, you know, having that praise and worship to God. And so when we start with that, then it's kind of like the outflow of that relationship with God that gives us the energy and the ability to do good for others. So I think that's a good place to start. And speaking of which, why don't we pray and then we'll hit Titus. Lord, we just thank you for this time, and we acknowledge that we come to you with needs. Some of them are probably pressing needs, urgent needs, heavy needs. Lord, give us the insight to see how you can remove those needs from us and also how we can be a blessing to others. Give us the eyes to see those needs, to know what you want us to be taking part so we can be active in the body of Christ. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I've got three volunteers. We're actually, when I say we're going to camp in Titus, we're actually going to read through all of Titus today. It's three short chapters, so just kind of getting your brains ready for a serious reading of Titus. But before we do that, why don't we have a little perspective on Titus? I'm not a Titus expert, but I did a little research. Most people think Paul wrote it, it's not mentioned in the book of Acts as one of his mission trips where there were three, so they think that this might have been his, like, fourth missionary journey. So Paul went to the island, which is called Crete, I think is how it's pronounced. It's an island south of Greece, and I'll show a map in a little bit. But he started a bunch of churches there. And, okay, this is Paul's fourth missionary trip, if that's true, but whatever it was, we all know Paul was running around the world starting churches, putting his life at risk. Okay, so he goes to this island, starts a bunch of churches, and then leaves. And so everything's, you know, looks like it's going well when he leaves, but then things start going south a little bit. And that's what we're going to get to in Titus. And the kind of the, one of the themes of the book was he's writing to Titus, the person who's in Crete, is to you know, to make sure he's got strong leadership in the church. So part of this is kind of think about Paul's perspective and his pressing need that he's got. He's, you know, given his life for the body, and now there's problems here at Titus or at Crete, and he's going to try to address that. And you can kind of think about this as maybe being one of his babies, you know. I don't think Paul's married and had children, but this, you know, these churches are his babies. And he thought he had done everything for these churches right, but as we know with children, that doesn't mean everything goes as planned. And so maybe if you're a parent, you can kind of relate to this, that, okay, things aren't always going as planned. So here's the map, and right in the middle there in red is the island of Crete. And so you can see Athens is above that. So it's a nice journey. I mean, if you think about Paul, how he got there, I'm sure it wasn't an easy journey to go there and back. So he, he certainly went to a lot of effort to start those churches. And so I'm sure he had a lot of hope that things would go well. And as we read through it, we've got to have a picture too. From what I've seen, has anyone ever been to this island before? It seemed like, you know, almost like a Hawaii. It seemed like, you know, tourists and mountains and valleys and just really pretty, pretty place. But it gives you some sort of picture as you picture your mind as we're reading through it. You know, maybe what Paul saw, what he went to, what the people were like that were there. So there's your little picture. And I'm going to pass on a mic. I'm going to start out, I'm going to have Davis read chapter 1. And don't worry, if I didn't ask you to read, I'm not going to ask you to volunteer. So, just kind of close your eyes and if you want, or listen or follow in your Bible, but just kind of think not only the words that are spoken, but the tone of Paul's message. Because the tone is, you know, his message is not just the words, but the tone of his words. And so just kind of relax and enjoy the word. The rest of this time, I just want to kind of discuss and share what your thoughts are on this, give you guys a chance to kind of share what you see in there as the burdens Paul was bearing, and then how could that relate to, you know, our day that we've got as far as the time that we live in, maybe how that relates to some burdens you might be sharing or feeling or that you've seen in others. So what were some things that you saw in Titus that stuck out to you as far as the pressing needs of Paul? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, if you, you know, had his birth, you know, had his baby, and all of a sudden it gets swept away by false teaching, how hard that would be. And, you know, it'd be tempted to be harsh on the people. And I know when he started off, you know, he starts off, you know, grace and peace from God the Father. And, you know, it just starts with a gentleness. And then in chapter 3, you know, we remind them to be submissive, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, speak evil to no one, avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy. Again, it's just kind of like a gentle spirit that he's got. And, you know, he ends it, grace and peace be with you all. And so I know for me, if I've, you know, maybe when one of my children was not meeting up to my expectations, I may not have always been that gentle with, you know, my response to them as they were, going astray or whatever, or maybe I thought that they were. The verse that we actually were focused on here was at the end, and that's verse 14 of chapter 3. And let our people learn to devote themselves to do good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. So how do you see, you know, how can we use these verses, this chapter, this book, this story to encourage us to, you know, meet people's needs better and to follow Paul's example of, you know, finding people that, you know, we can come alongside and help. And so that, you know, that's what Paul's doing here. Any thoughts on how this can be a good example? Yeah, it's kind of like looking at the victories won, and let's not forget that in the midst of our maybe struggling in battles, that God's won the big picture, and let's not forget that. Good. Jerry, first.
I thought in chapter 2, verse
2. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. In fact, recently I was just corrected by someone of something that I needed correction on, apparently. But before that was anything but sound speech from the person. And so when the correction came, I kind of had to struggle to listen to what they were saying because all I heard was the unsound speech that was before that. And, you know, it's kind of like if we ever hope to give any sort of insight to people, we got to speak with sound speech. Otherwise, you know, they're not going to hear us. And you know, it's just dismissive. Yeah, Bernie, do you have something? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I was thinking about that because, you know, God's given us, for me, he's given me a wife, and she sees things that I don't see as far as people's needs. And so God has allowed us to kind of figure out how to work together where she will see needs and then kind of bring them to the surface, and then we can maybe work on them together to help fulfill them. That's, of course, the perfect world. It doesn't always work that way, but that's the model that I've seen God has kind of put into us, because not that she sees all the needs and I don't, but you get the idea. Some people are more gifted at seeing those needs, and I think as a body, you know, if we looked at all the needs in this body, it's overwhelming. And if one of us felt like, okay, I'm going to have that weight of taking the needs of everyone here, it would be way, you know, way overwhelming. And so the only way that can happen is in community with each other. And I think that as we learn how to use the gifts that God's given us, and, you know, some people are good at seeing needs, others at, you know, meeting needs, and you know, what all those, that blend of gifts, that it's got to be done in community, and it's not just a solo thing. That's a beautiful thing when, you know, that happens. And I know we see that happen a lot here, when we see a group of people come together and work together to meet needs. And that, you know, that's a beautiful thing. And that's a great testimony, I think, to non-believers about what the body of Christ is like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's why those beginning and ending are so good. You know, he starts off with his greeting to Titus. And it's just a very warm greeting, and then talks about people in between there, and then ends it. And so all that gives that tone of like the spirit of doves and not of wolves. I saw another hand over here somewhere. Yeah, Bill. Yeah, it, you know, if it's just a matter of a formula or a sequence we could go through, then, you know, they would give us that steps. And it's what makes the Christian life hard but exciting, because every day is an adventure. You know, we have our plans, but God often throws those astray, and grace needs to abound. Yeah, I think that one of the things I've learned from myself is that kind of in those situations when you're dealing with maybe conflict or whatever, that how strong of an attitude can be within me to kind of feel superior in some respect to it, you know, where you feel like, you know, I'm better than that other person because you've seen maybe their shortcoming, and so as you kind of address it, there's can be kind of like an attitude of superiority, and I notice whenever I can catch that, you know, and then return to what you said as far as the, you know, that we've all been saved by grace, and remind myself of that, you know, it just kind of like wipes the slate clean, and it takes away any sort of feeling like I'm any better at all than you. And so, you know, we can relate to each other in our struggle against flesh and blood, and to have that come out as a kind of that tone or that attitude when talking to people. I find when I can change that, it changes how that conversation go. You know, it's a wonder all of a sudden people listen to you when you're a little more humble. Eric. Yeah, that's good. Another thing that I thought about, kind of like the middle road, is you know, one of the things that as you kind of get into pressing needs and whatever, is many of you I know realize is that there's only so much time in the day, right? And we can't handle all the pressing needs that we see often. And so how do you choose what pressing needs you actually engage in and what ones you don't? I mean, Jesus said no. So I guess if Jesus didn't have the capacity to meet everyone's needs, then we shouldn't feel bad about it either. But how can we, how do you guys decide when you see needs, you know, which ones, you know, you feel like God's calling you to address, and then which ones, you know, you're not? Any words of wisdom on that question? How you deal with that? But I think the point I've seen is that you know, before, like, Julie and I do something, like, before we engage, you know, if it's a small thing, it's a small thing. But if it's a big thing, we've got an agreement where we're going to talk about it and agree to it first. I'm not going to, like, commit tons of time and emotional energy to something without talking to her first. And so we've kind of agreed that we're not going to do something that God's going to show us those needs together. Otherwise, you know, then it's not from God. It's for us, you know. So that's kind of a good strategy we've had. Yeah, it's kind of cool when you've got a need out there that you feel like you should be involved with, and all of a sudden maybe God brings someone else in that takes care of it or something, and you realize, oh, I guess maybe I don't need to do that. And, you know, and all of a sudden you just kind of like that, it's a cool thing. Yeah. And with that, since we've been talking, why don't we just take a moment and pray? And is that 10:30? It is, yeah. So then 11:30. let me check. And then you'll finish your prayer then?
Yeah. Okay. While we were